A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 5th of December 2021, Sunday. We will be continuing from this transcript book, the 4th lesson of the 6 Patriarchs Platform Sutta. We are at page 27, third paragraph. There was a question by Sister Padmasri. The question is very good. You have to listen to this. When the mind has no dwelling, does it mean that we must have yoniso manasikara, wise attention? So that was the question. If you want to develop Dhamma understanding, you have to understand what mind is without dwelling. If the mind dwells, it is heedless. It cannot be heedful. So the mind that is without dwelling is just away. That's why it's different. It's the meditative mind. So this question is very good. We'll go back to the sharing. So this question is, when the mind has no dwelling, does it mean we must have yoni, so manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience? So this one is obvious. Then I reply, I say, definitely. Otherwise, your mind will dwell. Because without yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, it will get caught, it will entangle, and it will dwell, and it will stir. Not only dwell, it will stir, react, and create a lot of sankara activity. So this aspect of wisdom that is required to free the mind is very important, very important, because this understanding, if you don't have, you can't actually develop the practice. So initially, as I explained, as you cultivate, you will have glimpses of these moments of mind that has got no dwelling. But because it's still not stable yet, that's why you cannot penetrate the truth. That's why a lot of people find it very difficult, because you don't know what cultivation is. So you tend to think. And who think? The thought think. When the thought is active, you can never be mindful, never be with the moment. So that's why I explain. I say, initially, as you cultivate, you will have glimpses of those moments of mind that has got no dwelling, because you are being mindful and aware, just like what Po Ching went through last time. But earlier on, because it was very stable, that's why she can have that transformed mind. But for most people, you have not stabilized it. So for those who are yet to stabilize it, you need to stabilize it. Unless you stabilize it, you cannot penetrate the truth. Then later on, you will come to understand why, when the mind dwells, there is no understanding. And this part is very important. I will explain now. Do you know what dwelling is? And like the word dwell. Dwell means you are staying somewhere, or you are holding on to something. It's just like the heedless people. Heedlessness means you think a lot. Think a lot means you are lost in thought. So this one is very obvious. You are lost in thought. Think a lot means you are lost in thought, preoccupied with your thinking and mind's reaction. So you are reacting means your mind has stirred and developed emotion. That's how one becomes heedless. You are always, most of the time, lost in thought before you have the understanding and the training. You can never be aware of what is happening within the moment. And when you cannot be aware of what is happening within the moment, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot understand truth. Wisdom cannot arise. So now, hopefully, you understand. The mind that is constantly dwelling means constantly perceiving something, then holding on to it, give meaning to it. That's why it's grasping, clinging, holding. This type of mind cannot understand too. It is all knowledge, because from memory, from your views, opinion, and conditioning, you just continue to behave the way you are so conditioned, your habitual tendencies. So it's all knowledge, views, opinion, conditioning leading to habitual tendency, means consciousness and its content, and there is no wisdom in all. That's why the Buddha wants you to reverse all this cultivation. When you look at the Satipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundation of Mindfulness Sutta, what do they say inside the sutta? The sutta say standing aware. Aware means what? Don't think and just silently aware. Be with the moment in silent awareness. Feel it, just aware. Do you understand? When feeling has become pleasant and unpleasant, it means your mind has stirred and moved away. Then aware again. Do you understand? Bring it back to awareness. Bring it back to the true mind that has no dwelling. The moment you are aware, you are without thought. That's why that is your true mind. That is your silent mind. That is your inner awareness nature. So meditation is to constantly go back to that awareness nature. Be with the moment in silent awareness to observe, to be aware, to understand, to insight, to phenomena, to see things as they. So all these are the outcome of a meditative mind. Unless you understand what the meditative mind is, what your true mind is, what your silent mind is, you can never develop the real meditation. But when you, but you all would thought the opposite. What did they teach you? What did you do? Yes, they asked you to note. Note what? Note pleasant, unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling. But they don't explain. Noting and being aware is different. When you note with the thought, it is a sankhara activity, a perception activity, a mind activity. So noting in its sense is perceiving already. So you're supposed to be aware. Aware means what? Aware that your mind, the true mind, which is silent awareness, has moved, has stirred, has developed the emotion to be pleasant or unpleasant. Then they tell you, when you experience pain, you go and note, pain, pain, pain. And when you experience fear, note fear, fear, fear. And when you experience a lot of heedless thinking, non-stop thinking, he tell you to note thinking, thinking, thinking. But you never inquire, what are you doing? You are not silencing your mind. You are creating more thinking, which means you are not developing awareness within. You are creating more thoughts. Do you understand? So when you do that, your mind is dwelling everywhere. There's someone, then sometimes you like to console yourself, you are saying, no, I must maintain awareness. So this one is not so bad, but there is a danger. I will explain it. When you say, I must maintain awareness, you must inquire who maintains. If it's the thought, then thought tries to be aware. When thought tries to be aware, there is not awareness. There is the thought actively trying to be aware, which is doing the thinking. The real awareness is just without thought. When you are silent, you are naturally aware, so that you don't dwell. So the real awareness is just to be aware without thought, before the perception, before the knowing, so that your mind does not dwell. Awareness before the knowing, it is just silent inner awareness. But to live life, you cannot be in that state all the time. Otherwise, you cannot live life. But in the formal meditation, you can. That's why you can stabilize the awareness in the formal meditation, in the formal meditative posture. Because during the formal meditation, you no need to engage the senses to live life. You no need to pay attention to life. You no need to pay attention to the traffic condition and all those things. You no need to communicate with people. You don't need to deal with situation and all those things. So what you are doing in a formal meditation is to develop understanding of what you are, who you are, how you function as a human being, what is consciousness all about, what is the form of mind all about. This is self-knowledge. This is the deeper aspect of meditation. That's why without awareness, you can't do all this. You will be dwelling in thought, developing thought-based thinking, knowledge-based activity. So all those are not really meditation. Those are thought-based activity that you create in the name of meditation. Then in the daily mindfulness, as you move around with awareness, you can be continuously aware too, but not 100% of the time. Then when you need to perceive, you should perceive, otherwise how can you live life? When you need to know, because you have to live life. When you need to drive, you have to be aware of the traffic. But you can't go and think. But you don't go and think. So this part is very important. You don't go and heedlessly think. The moment you are aware, you perceive, you understand, then you move on. So this part is very important. The moment you are aware, you perceive. Then with the unisop manaskara and your understanding, you understand. Then you move. That's it. Spontaneously. You move. You know how to act. Your awareness move. Then you have a lot of clarity. Then you don't dwell into it by continuously or continuing to think about it or react over it or what they call proliferate your thinking process, meaning you don't allow it to continue to stir. To stir you, leading to thought proliferation. The thought continues to multiply or proliferate when you do that. It's just like you are continuously heedless and think and think and think until you are completely lost in thought, which means you are not aware at all. You think a lot. And even when you are driving, you are also thinking. Then all of a sudden, something happened, then you panic. Or sometimes, while at the traffic lights junction, waiting for the light to turn green, you may also be thinking, especially so when you have problem that bothers you and worries you. So this is what habitual tendency is also Very true. When you have your tendency, this tendency will come and interfere. Then I move on. When we were in Macau, Alicia's friend, Ai's husband, he has problem that worries him. He worries too much, and he has too much thought disturbing him too. That's why one day he wanted to take us to one of those good restaurants that he knows. But very funny, the restaurant which was on the opposite side of the building, he didn't remember. But instead, he took us to another building, which was the hotel side. Then we went up to the restaurant, which he never made any booking. And it so happened the restaurant was also under renovation and was closed. Then only he realized that it was not that restaurant. Then we went to the car park again. He took us and drive us out again to go to the opposite building, park there, and then only go to the correct restaurant. So when you are heedless, got problem, worry, you tend to have this type of mind that constantly make mistake. You are not yourself. You are actually lost in thought, because preoccupied is something else. But because he was a close friend of Alicia and Freddie, then Alicia and Freddie took us there to actually help the friend, which is him and his wife, Ai. So, how did all this thing happen? So the next part is the explanation part. Because during the lunch, we asked him what happened. He himself told us in Cantonese, "太多嘢諗，太多嘢諗," too much thing to attend to. In Cantonese, "太多嘢諗," meaning he had too much thought bothering him, too much thinking going on. That's why he cannot remember. When you think a lot, you become heedless. And you are not mindful anymore. Then as you drive and do your things, that thought will condition you to move to that place which you are so conditioned to go. And even if it's the wrong place, you also cannot remember because you have been carrying this thought for a long time. The conditioning is so strong and there is no clarity. So that's why he himself knew that it is because he thinks a lot. That's how he makes the mistake. And he also admits that sometimes he makes mistake and get into trouble because lam ye, he was thinking while he was driving. He was also thinking while he was doing other things. Therefore, he was never mindful, never heedful, never with the moment. That's how he knows he has such problem. So heedless people have such problem. So you have to check yourself and make yourself heedful. That's why the Buddha say heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are accepted. That's why without heedfulness, the Buddha say the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead, no way of becoming awakened, because your mind dwells everywhere. Dwells on what? Dwell on your so-called thinking, your fear, your problem, your worry, your anxiety, your unfinished activity or business, your so-called work, career, relationship, and your other life-related problems. You dwell on all those things because your mind is so entangled, so heedless, full of those accumulated memories that wants to do this and that, those unfinished business, Just now, Sister Padmasuri asked a very good question. In order to have this ability of mind not to dwell anywhere, you must have Yoniso Manasikara, which is wisdom at the moment of sense experience, which is true. And Yoniso Manasikara cannot be learned. You have means you have. Eh? This one I have explained before. I have told Yunchen before. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. So you need to cultivate it and develop it. Then when it's already there, it will be with you. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You can only cultivate it via keeping on straightening your views until they stabilize. The moment they stabilize, it means you have understood. Then there is wisdom within your understanding, which is connected to your form and mind within your nature. Then at the moment of sense experience, the next time you see something, hear something, you will not be deluded like before anymore. You will not react and stir your mind and dwell like before, like what Alicia has gone through. Straight away, the awareness will be aware, and the Yoniso Manasikara will come out and prompt her or tell her, hey, this reaction or stirring will lead to suffering. Have you not suffered enough? 16 years of depression, which leads to all this, and you still want to hold on to the wrong thought. That is like the fish analogy that she came to understand after witnessing it at the Cameron Highland retreat. Out of the pond, onto the land, like out of the suffering world already, and yet you still want to jump back and continue with those afflictions. So that one like awaken her. You will never do that again, because it's like a red hot iron ball burning and tormenting you. You have experienced it before. So do you still want to hold on to it? We are thinking about it, dwelling and clinging onto it. That's why things that are unfit for attention, you will never pay attention anymore. You will go back to the Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths. You will always keep to the Dhamma. You will keep on listening to the Dhamma to straighten your view. And there is so much joy because it can reverse all of her previous negative tendency and pain, which was so strong, caused by the depression and the delusion. That's how she recovered from it and became so different or so beautiful. All this are possible for every one of you. If you are serious about life, you can do it. As long as you straighten your view and develop the understanding to change for the better, you can come out of it, means that suffering or affliction. Then you develop the ability to reflect and contemplate on the Dhamma until it's very clear. Then you inquire, why must I always react like before? Always stir my mind like before to create all the wrong thought. Why must I always observe people that way, perceive people that way, and perceive the world that way? Why must I always blame myself, blame others, and create the egoic mind to dwell on so many things? Life can be so different, so simple, so peaceful, so happy, and so meaningful if only I can maintain heedfulness to be with the moment in silent awareness without having to dwell on anything. Then I will be able to experience all of the great pristine beauties and wonders of life every moment without word. So beautiful. I can just experience that anytime. Because without thought, I have no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, and no negativity of my state. It's just peacefulness, stillness, tranquility, and silence. That's why heedful living is so different from heedless living. No more agitation, no more stirring, no more tension, nothing. Everything is so beautiful. So this part, maybe I will add in some explanation. In order to live like that, in order to live like that, you must have the understanding. Like that day I shared with you all on the Lotus Sutta, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. And within the sharing, Xuan Hua just explained, but he didn't give the actual wisdom understanding behind. Then later on, I think during the Dhamma discussion only, I explained it in more detail. Then I said, if you can understand all this and develop the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, then everything will be wonderful, whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, whatever is wonderful. That's why Engby was very good. Ability to accept what is the reality is wonderful. That's how she replies, is it? What is, in inverted commas, is real wonderful. And she thanked me for explaining the meaning of the word wonderful so well. And that pointer is very important. So if you can have the understanding to accept the reality of the moment, what is, then what is there to think? Why you want to like go and dwell in all the worldly things? There are causes and conditions behind, like the Buddha said. When the causes and conditions is set, things will be like that. So accept that reality. That if you want to act, you act. That one is act with wisdom, no more with memory, no more with the conditioning, the view, that you have straightened your view. And you will understand all this. Otherwise, you cannot act. Otherwise, you cannot live the moment. The moment is very important. That's why understanding what is the reality, suchness, ta-ta-ta. So what is real, wonderful, really wonderful. That's why I explained just now. You can just be with the moment in silent awareness. Then all these wrong thoughts cannot arise, stirring, agitation all cannot arise. But this is it for living. Living with understanding to accept the reality of the moment. Things are just the way it is, has to be that way, can't be otherwise. So be at peace first. Then when you want to act, you act with noble effort power, with Dhamma, with understanding, with Yoniso Manasikara. So this is what the teaching is all about. This is what Dhamma is all about. Not what you think. Not about psychic ability, not about those funny things that people are interested in, chasing after magic power, ability to levitate, to read mind, to do all those funny things. That one cannot free your mind, cannot liberate your mind to end birth and death. That one cannot give you the wisdom to live life. That one maybe make you more egoic and more famous. Then you will develop all the, what they call, attachment to all those powers. That is craving, that is desire. So this spark, I hope you all can develop the understanding. Yeah? Then I read on. Yeah, at page 32, last paragraph. Huh? That's how words create duality, create stirring, and create all the mind states. That's how the mind grabs, clings, holds, and dwells. Without words, you see things as they are. Silent, no duality, no this, no that, and you are so peaceful. And all this requires a lot of understanding. That's why you must have the understanding or the wisdom to be with the moment. No need to do anything. That's why only wisdom frees your mind, nothing else. You have to reflect, contemplate until it is very, very clear, like what my teacher used to tell me. Then when you see them, straight away you will understand. Sankhara anicchang. All of sankhara are impermanent. They come and they go. Then why do you still hold on to them? Why do you still want to think? It's only a thought. The moment you grasp, think, and hold, suffering comes to be. This is a universal characteristic. Do you understand? That's why after that they say sankhara dukkha. So this one is very easy to understand when you have already developed the wisdom, the understanding. Then like I always say, sankhara anicchang. If you attach, cling, and want things your way, it leads to suffering. That's why your condition, sankhara dukkham. So the final understanding is, think also like that, don't think also like that. Where is just a thought? How come it has power over you? How come it can cause so much suffering and misery in you, in the individual who is heedless and deluded? It's because you give it power, you give it meaning. It's just words. It's just a thought. Sankhara. How come it has such power over you? If you are not deluded, if you don't grasp, cling, and give meaning, and create duality, and attach, there is nothing. That's why I always use that sentence. Think also like that, don't think also like that. So what is thinking? Thinking is suffering. Like the Buddha's analogy, sankhara, empty nature, is like the banana stem, layer by layer you peel, at the center of it is empty. There is no reality. Empty nature of existence. So here dwell means you are holding on to something, grasping and clinging. Just like our last week Sunday sharing. There is affliction. This is affliction because samsara is affliction. When you close your fist, what does it mean? It means the five aggregate of form and mind, which are non-grasping, you grasp, hold, and cling. That's why this is affliction, say Huining. And this is how the second patriarch become enlightened. When he cut off his hand, he was in a state of agony and pain because of what he did. But when Buddha, Bodhidharma, agreed to transmit him the Dhamma seal, he was full of joy. At that moment, he forgot about the pain. Then the moment after that is over, he is conscious of that great pain again. Then he shouted out and told Bodhidharma that there was tremendous pain. He said, my heart is very painful. Then Bodhidharma asked him a very simple question. Show me your heart and I will heal it for you. So this part is very interesting. Huh? You have the Dhamma understanding, you understand. So when Bodhidharma spoke those words, show me your heart and I will heal it for you, then the second patriarch-to-be, he checked everywhere. He cannot find his heart. He cannot find his true mind. Then Bodhidharma told him, he has been healed. Because when he say he cannot find it, it means it's not within all the consciousness of the mundane mind. That's why you don't hold on to the sankhara that create the word pain and all those things. When you maintain awareness, then all these things cease. It also means the second patriarch to be had finally realized that this mundane mind is not the true mind. That's the reason why Bodhidharma said, you have been healed. Then he straight away awakened, just like Hui Ning, because the mind doesn't dwell anymore. He realized what the true mind is. That's why what is triggering of the attachment, clinging, grasping, the sensation is the mundane mind. And that one is the reality of the forming mind. You attach and cling, you suffer. Because the reality is the suchness. Suchness is when you have a body, when the condition is such, if you give meaning, you will suffer. Like I used to say, if you have a disease or a sickness, before the cure comes, you got two choices. Attach to it and become miserable over it, or accept the reality. Because condition and that things we learn. If you need a cure, you seek a cure and look for a cure. See a doctor. That's how you do what you have to do. Then in the meantime, before the cure comes, before the medication comes, you have to endure. You have to endure. You have to use your Dhamma understanding, wisdom, to develop the understanding. Otherwise, you will suffer. So this part, the understanding is very useful. Huh? That's the reason why Bodhidharma said, you have been healed. Then he straight away awakened, just like Hui Ning after he heard the stanza, the mind must have no dwelling. So the mind must have no dwelling. And that is the reason why it cannot be found, because all those are mundane consciousness. They are not the true mind. They come and they go. They come and they go. Hence, the moment you hold and give meaning, suffering will arise. That's how the second patriarch awakened. Then he realized that the body is just a body. You had to endure, you had to endure, because when you cut it off and the consciousness is trapped inside, you feel it. You will feel it. But if you don't grasp and cling and hold deludedly, then there is no suffering. Because there is no body inside there. It's just consciousness. It's just the tactile consciousness that keep on arising. Then you have two choices, like I explained just now. React to it and become miserable, we are thinking. That is your mundane consciousness. Thinking that you are in pain. You are the one in pain. Then not only the body suffer, the mind also suffer. That's why the Buddha said, when your body is sick, do not allow your mind also to be sick. So that is the meaning. When you have that understanding, you can awaken to the truth. That's why the moment you grasp and cling, this is affliction. Then Bodhidharma said, when you don't grasp and don't cling, this is freedom. Because the five aggregates of form and mind are non-grasping. Non-grasping means pure aggregate. Don't dwell anywhere. because you understand that this aggregates are not you. That's why this aggregate of Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, they are all not you. They have these universal characteristics of impermanent because they come and they go. They are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. The moment you grasp and cling, suffering will arise. And when you see clearly the impermanent nature, you will see clearly their non-self nature. Because you cannot hold on to it, grasp onto it and say, this is I, this is me, therefore all this can be mine. So this type of understanding is a very beautiful one. There is no such thing, because this form in mind, the five aggregates, they are all conditions arising. Hence, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cross on to, and cling on to. Can you follow? So these are very important pointers that can develop the clear understanding of the Dhamma. Very good. We should thank Sister Pamasuri for the good question. Now, Sister Ingby also want to ask. So we still have time. We go on to the next question. Sister Ingby asks, Brother Teo, so the mind that has no dwelling means it is able to live life heedfully in sati. Yes. So that was a very good question. Heedful means you are aware, just aware. The moment you are aware, the general spacious awareness without a center is just silent. Because everything that arises is just that moment. That moment. That moment. Do you understand? It just come and go. Come and go. No reality. It's only a thought. What is thought? Consciousness and its content. If you input grasping and clinging, then it arises affliction. But when you input with understanding without grasping, it becomes pure aggregate. It becomes something like a vehicle and a tool for you to use to live life. Then use it to live. Don't go and worry about it. Don't go and entangle yourself with it. Don't be deluded by it. Then everything is no longer like before already. Then the moment you look at Brother Jim, it's different already. You can love him with all your sincerity. Love because of your affinity with him, because you are married. You can be a very good mother, a very good wife and spouse. You can also do your duty, but you will not be affected when something happens to them. Whatever happened is just a form of mind, no reality. And all this will be very clear to you because your mind no longer dwells and grasps and gives meaning. The understanding of no mark is very important. Also because you understand both conditions. One is the arising or apparent reality within the conditioned world, which is governed by nature's law. That's why there is this law of karma, where you have to do your duty appropriately. You have to love them, you have to care for them, you have to, but you don't attach, cling, and hold, because they are all conditioned arising entity, no reality. He no you, he no me, non-self and empty. The moment you grasp and cling, suffering will arise. This is the noble truth. Then the second aspect is we are the understanding of the ultimate truth. The mind that doesn't dwell has got no words, nothing. He no you, he no me, no mark. So where got loved ones? Where got all this? All these are creation, mind make, sankara activity, emotion. That's why the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness. And what is consciousness? Images that come and go only thought consciousness and its content, how real can it be? And as real as it can be, as explained by me earlier on, via the Heart Sutra short notes and the emptiness book, split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. And that is the only reality in life, means the present moment. So how real can it be? That moment to moment life passes by. Split second is dead and gone. Everything is just consciousness and memory. 往事只能回味. Past is only a memory, no reality. Then why do you still grasp, cling and hold? It's only a thought. How come it can have such power over you? Unless the living beings are deluded and heedless, thought has no power over them. That's why when you have that clarity, you can never suffer again or anymore. Life becomes very different. By now, I think you will penetrate the Dhamma. Sadhu to you. Then Sister Amy replied, I just want to say, is it something like in Cantonese? Hang ye po, kin, kan is kin. Hang ye po, kin ye po, at the present moment. Yeah, I say, because the answer can be yes and no. Because everything is like you have understood it, not so real. Everything is just within the moment. When you say hang ye po, kin ye po, when you understand it, it's beautiful. Where there is, because there is no reality. Everything is without mark. Every moment just slip by. So whether you recall to memory or don't recall to memory, it has no difference. Do you understand? But for those who are deluded, they will recall to memory. Then what happened? They will cling, grasp and hold, because memory will tell them or tell you, I'm Sister Ingby, I'm a spouse, I have children, I have Dhamma friends, I work where, I am so and so. All these are memory. But the reality is, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? We are your true nature. When you understand that the form and mind is not you, then you will know how to use it to live, for they serve you. Then life becomes beautiful and meaningful. Then there is such a thing as zhen kong miao yu. Within true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. Then life will become wonderful and meaningful. That's why use it to live. Don't go and worry about it. Don't panic. And don't deludedly hold, grasp, cling, and grieve over emptiness. That famous saying from the Mandarin movie of the 60s is very good. It said, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. 那么施主何必苦苦为空流泪呢? The meaning is, you come to this world empty-handed because you are born into this world empty. When you leave this world, you also leave without anything. Then in between, why do you grieve for emptiness? Why do you have so many unresolved business, sorrow, lamentation, suffering and misery? Isn't that delusion? And who suffer? The form and mind suffer. And who grabs and who clings? The form and mind grabs and clings. That's why when there is no clarity of mind, no heedfulness, no awareness, you cannot see and understand all this. You got yourself entangled and trapped within the five aggregates of grasping. Then suffering and misery will be the result, without you knowing it. But the moment you awake, the moment you awaken, the moment you have developed the ability to understand or clarity to see clearly, you are no longer deluded. by it, then you will understand that this is not me. This is only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for me to come to this world, for you to use, to develop the understanding, and for you to live. Then life becomes completely different when you don't attach, cling, and grasp or hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind. I must press it properly. Eh? Then you are. Then they are for you to use. And they will serve you well. Then they become beautiful and meaningful. There is such a thing as life, moment to moment, even though not surreal. There is such a thing as existence, which includes peace, happiness, joy, love, family members, kayamita, etc. As long as there is understanding and wisdom to live it, then everything is just the way it is. And it can bring about great condition for a lot of wholesomeness and goodness to arise. That's why there is such thing as living life to the fullest. There is such a thing as having great meaning to life. So do not be deluded by what people tell you. Everything also empty and impermanent. There's no more meaning to live life. That is a one-sided delusion. Just like that day as Sumeru clanged, Sister Kwan's son came and talked to me. He said, "Brother Teo, what you said was very true. Now I can see suffering everywhere. He can see everybody is suffering. But he doesn't understand the second turning. In the first Noble Truth, second turning, the Buddha says suffering is to be understood. But he has not develop the understanding of it. He only saw suffering. Suffering is everywhere. Then do you know what he told me? He said, life really has no meaning. Because suffering is everywhere. I said, who teach you this type of Dhamma? He said, Pratyo, everywhere there is suffering. Life really has no more meaning. I said, the Buddha never teach that way. The Buddha said, there is a third noble truth. Then only he start to laugh and say, yeah, third noble truth, suffering need not be. Uh-huh. Then I remember him saying, yes, when there is wisdom, suffering need not be. Then why did you still say suffering is everywhere, no more meaning? Live life also, no more meaning. That is delusion. Do you understand? Suffering only applies to people who are deluded. People who are not deluded, they don't have to suffer. Suffering is everywhere, yes, the prevalence of suffering, but only apply to those who are deluded, who don't have the wisdom. But those who have the wisdom, suffering need not be. That's why life can be wonderful. When the form and mind is connected via the direct seeing with the wisdom and understanding, that form and mind is no longer deluded, hence incapable of suffering. That form and mind you can say is enlightened, but that one is not you. That one is conditioned arising, impermanent. The moment you grasp and hold, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It will go the way of nature. That's why it is non-self, it's empty. Ultimately, it will cease to be. When you understand all this, you will come to realize that life can be very beautiful, meaningful, and wonderful. So suffering need not be. So he only needs to develop the wisdom to free. But if he only cultivate the first and second noble truth and never cultivate the third and fourth noble truth, he will end up like half-baked. But that's already very good for him to have the ability to see suffering so clearly. He sees the prevalence of suffering everywhere. Living beings, they suffer, but it doesn't mean life has no meaning, no more meaning. When you see all this, you better wake up to the urgency of cultivation. If you don't cultivate, you will end up like them. you will become miserable like them. So this is for you to understand that the first number two is very, very real. It will torment you and make you miserable if you grasp, cling, grips, and hold onto it. But the moment you understand that there is a cause behind all this suffering, then you must determine to cultivate to realize the solution towards liberating your mind from all these causes. That's why the second turning of the third number two and the fourth number two are very important. Even the second turning of the second number two, the cause of suffering, which is sakayadity, self-delusion, that condition your craving, said this craving is to be severe or abundant. That's why you have to cultivate until you have the wisdom to severe it or abandon it. Otherwise, suffering will continue. So when you understand what suffering is and you understand the cause behind, you must realize the wisdom to abandon it, to liberate your mind, so that it is no longer deluded by it, so that it can free the mind, so that the mind can liberate and go beyond. So this is the real teaching. That's why a lot of understanding needs to be developed when you go through the cultivation. Every time you cultivate, if you are not sure, you will get stuck. Then you have to reflect, contemplate, inquire. After that, if you can, you should ask questions so that those who have the understanding can explain to you and you can cut short your cultivation journey. Just like Sister Kwan San, he had not met me at the Sumeru retreat, he would have stagnated at that stage for very long, and yet thinking that he had understood the cultivation, we are saying suffering is everywhere, no point living. Understanding it that way doesn't spur him to move, because the teaching is very difficult to understand, and very few people can reach those stages to guide him. So because of that, if you cultivate without proper guidance and understanding, you can actually get trapped. And you will lose a lot of precious time. We are stagnating at those levels. That's why constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the second turning of the Four Noble Truths are very important. And read on a bit more. My teacher, Ajahn Yantra, he advised me no less than 6 times when I was with him alone. During the early years of my cultivation, he kept on repeating and reminding me, we choose contemplate and reflect on the Dhamma until it's very, very clear. Then I came to realize that was what I had been doing all this while because for me, if I don't understand, I don't want to start the cultivation. I don't want to move. That's why I have this very unique past inheritance. I must see the big picture first. I must understand first. Then I can move fast. Then when I understand, when I move, I don't make mistake anymore. Well, I am very clear of the direction where this nature is heading and the real Dhamma that this nature is searching. That understanding will unfold by itself. So all these are very useful pointers and understanding. Okay, Sadhu, thank you so much. Let us now rejoice with Sister Padmasri and Ingbi. It's a good question. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. So this are very, okay, we stop here. We are in this page 42. Okay, we will come back for 45 minutes. So meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. So try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. And you have to use this mind states to live your daily life and also develop heedfulness in the midst of life and stabilize your daily mindfulness. Okay, after that, we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting.
就是这个是一个 Thursday 的 experience 啦，哦，
啊，可以，no problem。
So 我试下用英语讲啦，因为 BG 不懂得听华语。
Okay，no problem。
So actually, for me, every day because my son come back quite late for dinner. So normally I will start my cooking only at 6:30. Right? By the time he come home about 7 or 7 something, you know, so that they have a hot meals, you know, like freshly cooked. So that day when I started wanted to cook, as soon as I took out all the thing and then I went to the sink and I on the tap, the running water was in yellowish. So actually 2 days ago, I already told Freddie, you need to do the backwash for the so-called. So after that, he due to busy or, you know, he overlooked it and then just end up I don't have the clean water. So after I realized the water is really can't cook lah in the way, huh? So I text in our group chat, the family member group chat. So just right there, how to do the backwash, right? So but no one reply me, you know. So then I went straight to the backwash. I mean the unit that we So I look at the instruction how to do the backwash and rinse and everything, so on and so forth. And then after I did everything and then I came back, but the water is still yellowish. Means I didn't do it correctly, huh? Or didn't do it enough. So I went back and do again. And then after that, I realized that the water coming up still very dirty I do the backwash. So I say might as well don't waste the water. I wash the floor, I know, no. So continue lah, huh, whatever it is. So after that, and my whole body was sweat. So I just told my son, I think I can't cook lah today. The rice already down and then you can tapau some veggie back lah, huh? I said you have to come home first to get the container, then go and tapau lah, I said. Said okay, all right. So after that, I came up and wash up and then I go down, you know, and then as I go down, on the tap for a while, the water, running water is clear. So after all this, then I realized at the so-called the whole situation, like the whole experience, I just do whatever need to be done and no aversion, no agitation. And
that one is very useful, very important.
How to say, Virgil, 那个 Dharma 好像就是你 accord and flow 啊, 就没有,
then the mind state will be very different. Most people would have been agitated, affected. Then the thoughts start to create thinking like Sankara. Freddie promised me but didn't do and all those things. So that's where you will come to a clear understanding that the mind has become different. That's why cultivator's mind and the mind of living being, they still have the, what I should say, heedless thinking is very different. The one that with the Dhamma, that has the cultivation, they will just do what they have to do, and they will know all this. No need to think like before, react and become unhappy and create unnecessary thinking, because life, it's like the day we share, wonderful. wonderful Dhamma is really wonderful in the sense that what is really wonderful. So a lot of event in life or issue in life, if you understand, you can come to terms with the reality and be at peace, that everything is in accordance with the Dhamma way. The only thing that creates conflict, division and problem is when we cannot accept the way things are. When our mind starts to create expectations which are not in accordance with nature's law, then you start to understand like what you go through, which is very beautiful, that everything can still be beautiful. There are Dhamma everywhere. That's why I like the wonderful Lotus Sutta. Master Shenhua is trying to explain the word wonderful. And the word wonderful, really, no matter how long you try to explain it, you cannot finish explaining it. Because everything in life, in existence, the reality, what is wonderful. So how can you finish explaining this word wonderful? Because it's an unending understanding. So the final realization will lead to this understanding. The form and mind is for us to live life, to come to this world. So we use it, and yet, like the fifth patriarch advised Huining, not to be deluded by it. Means it's a tool for us to use. That's why we use it with understanding. Then we accord and flow. We are at peace with everything that arises. So like your case, actually the backwash, if you are not familiar, it's not easy. So you need to actually go through it to understand. Like my wife last night also started, she doesn't know, but she make it a point to read the instruction like what you did. Then now she is very skillful. She's an expert and she knows when to do it and all things. Then when you do the backwash, every time you do the backwash, I remember, the water that come out is still dirty one. You got to do it many rounds, many times, because it doesn't mean that you have not done it correctly. It's like that one. The first time, especially after a long time you didn't do backwash, the sediment, everything. Because backwash means you reverse the flow of water. Then when you reverse the flow of water, the dirty sediment or whatever trapped between the sand layer, they will actually come out. Then that will make the water dirty. Then when you drain it out, you can see very dirty. Especially the first few, two or three times of backwash, still dirty. So you may think it's still dirty, but actually you stop at three. After that, you let it settle down. Then after a while, the water that goes into your house will be much cleaner than before. And because it goes through the filter, and the filter now can filter already, so most of the water that come out into your housing system will be clear again. But not everybody has this understanding. So for your case, it's a good training, a good experience. But what you realize is very good. Your mind just go about doing what you have to do and be at peace. Even when you text a message to your WhatsApp house member group, nobody reply, and yet you are not affected. You didn't even arise a thought to say, why these people don't want to help me and all those things. Well, these are normal reaction of human beings who lack understanding and patience. Whatever happened, that is the reality. Because if people have the condition, or people maybe have the appropriate time or understanding, then they will reply to you. Yeah. But if they are busy or by whatever reason, they are not able to reply to you, that is the reality too. Sometimes they may not be on the phone. They may be involved in other things. So whatever happens, the Dhamma is very important. That's the reality. That's what is. So what is real wonderful. That one, the statement that it be sent out is very beautiful, very important. And that is precisely the meaning. That's why it's called wonderful Dhamma. Then the Heart Sutta also knew. When you realize true emptiness, 真空妙有. When you realize true emptiness, life is wonderful. That's why within true emptiness, everything is wonderful. When you realize the Dhamma. So what is the reality. That is the Dhamma that living beings supposed to understand, awaken to, realize. And when you can understand what is, you can understand the Buddha's mind. Because the Buddha also has another name called Tathāta. Tathāta means suchness. So suchness means he is a teacher who have understand true suchness. That's why he is called the Tathāta, expert in suchness. So his teaching is such. A lot of this understanding which cultivator will finally realize, finally it will match it with the whole of the teaching. Then you realize no matter whichever way you approach the teaching, the final realization is the same. He know you, he know me, no reality, everything is empty. But there is such thing as life, existence, the conditioned world, the law of karma, the vulnerable truth. So all these are the deeper aspect of cultivation, which most cultivators didn't really have the ability to penetrate. They only try to penetrate the unconditioned. They are interested in awakening, but not knowing that the true awakening enlightenment is the final realization of the two aspects of life, the conditioned and the unconditioned. Without that total understanding, you will still be caught in one-sided duality. Then you cannot live life, actually. You may have a lot of knowledge and understanding, but you don't know that there is another aspect, which is life, that can be wonderful, meaningful, and beautiful. So that part is the missing link that most people can't come to understand. That's why the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dharma, is very unique, very wonderful, very beautiful, and it encompasses all of life, all of existence. That's the reason why my nature actually love this teaching. It can help us understand the totality of life, both mundane and supramundane. The whole secret of life, the whole of existence, creation, manifestation, and that nature is very ultimate. So these are very beautiful understanding, and the condition you bring out is also very good, and it's just to you. So you can continue your sharing if you want. Then after that, after you realize that part, what happened? Anything else?
Madhu Pratyu, actually, when I was doing the backwash, the soul things is not so smooth, you know, Pratyu.
Yeah,
because the handle 很紧，我推不下。
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah. No easy.
But then
and
my mind
Right. It's not easy to understand because it involves a lot of instruction.
其实我是很 amazed, 那个 mind 没有被在 被他抓去，而且哦，Bradio是因为哦 after the whole thing only I realize, oh, 可以这么的奥妙，这么的 wonderful, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, that's why it's wonderful.
It's like the Dharma is like you accord and flow.
Yeah.
It turns out to be beautiful, and then
yes,
at the end of the day,
yes,
I still get to cook for them, you know.
Correct.
And then attend the class, I was like full of joy, and it was
so
like so much joy inside me, despite very, very small little experience, but to me, it's like I can see the whole, how the Dharma manifests.
Correct.
And 怎样讲就是妙妙妙在它哦，你的 mind，
yeah,
you know
the wonderful Dharma 妙法，对对的妙法，就是我现在开始知道哦
，Bradio 讲的真空妙有，
the meaning stand out，因为万法就是从那边起的嘛，自信里面从自信起。
像那个法要怎么样的去 manifest 哦，是在于我怎样讲，就我们的智慧嘛，对不对？
Yeah, 智慧
就是我开始也理解到，佛法里面所讲的佛，他讲佛一直很怜悯我们众生，一直在教育我们，怎么样讲意念天堂，意念地狱啊，就是。 这不都是我们全部都是我们自己去把它画出来，就是去了解，所以我就想，悟到那个智慧，哇，我讲，原来这样哦，哇 ，I was like，
that's why it's wonderful， that's
so
why
wonderful， you know， it's like 一个小小的一个， 让我看到的，哇，
because to you that realization is tie up to a lot of things. That's why it's wonderful, really wonderful. When you understand this, you understand the reality. Everything is just the way it is. 就好像佛讲，一念之差, everything arises on the mind. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Then just like what you shared just now, the mind, if it's used appropriately, correctly, can realize heaven, heavenly bliss, can realize joy, can realize the beautiful mind state. But if it's directed with delusion, heedlessness, wrongly, it can suffer affliction for very, very long. It can go down to hell. It can experience all the suffering, all the misery, of all the various negativity of mind states. So that understanding will arise. That, like you mentioned just now, for the sake of BG Dio, who doesn't know Mandarin, you mentioned about the one fa, means the mind right dhamma. They arise from our self nature. So when you can understand that, means you have penetrated the dhamma. Because from that nature, through the mundane mind, it creates. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. And the mind right Dhamma arise. The phenomenal of consciousness arise. So all these are interrelated, connected, and they are very wonderful. That's why it becomes meaningful, wonderful Dhamma. When you realize all this and then you realize the deep meaning of what the Buddha meant when he shared very simple Dhamma. Even a lot of the penetrative understanding that he shared in the various sutta, you listen to those truths, they are so wonderful, so beautiful, like the Surangama Sutta, the Diamond Sutta, and even the Theravada Sutta of the Universal Characteristics, Paticca Samuppanna, Dependent Origination, Four Noble Truths, Three Turning, everything is so wonderful. They are also beautiful. and they are real Dhamma that can awaken the mind of living being, that can give rise to penetrative wisdom and understanding. So all this makes the teaching very unique, very amazing, very wonderful. That's why it's called the final teaching, the wonderful Dhamma, the Miao Hua, the Lotus Flower Sutta. So the Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing is talking about the wonderful aspect of the teachings. So when it starts with that, then it brings about the totality of understanding. That's why Envy that they straight away grasps the meaning, which my nature rejoice. What is real wonderful. So she expressed it in a very nice way. That's why she shared with all Kayamita and thanked me for bringing out that explanation in such clear-cut manner, the pointer and all those things. So these are beautiful understanding that cultivator will come to realize that as they develop more and more stable understanding, more and more exposure to cultivation, like what you have control, then you start to see all this Dhamma in the midst of life. Life itself is our true teacher. That's why I always say that. And nothing in life is not the reality. That's why what is really wonderful. That's why life itself is the real training ground, or what we call the way place for our cultivation. That's the reason why a lot of cultivators who understand, they always refer you back to life. You must go back to life to understand the truth, the Dhamma. So life itself is our greatest teacher. It's the greatest training ground, mandala, for us to develop the wisdom and the cultivation. And it's within life that the real Dhamma can be expressed, can be unfolded, and can be realized. That's why Bodhisattva keep on coming, life after life, for aeons and aeons and aeons of lifetime to perfect themselves. So now you see the link, the connectivity. It's no more about last time when you are at the Theravada level or tradition, the Bodhisattva way, very long. No, the vow, takes so long, so the mind, fear, doesn't want to go that way, want to quickly finish. So that is the thought, expressing the thing, because it's a choice, it's nothing to do with right and wrong, it's the individual choice. When you don't have that type of understanding, you will be contented with the sainthood way and all those things, and it's nothing wrong, it's still a very good understanding, but no more wonderful in the sense that it just is everything just end very fast. You understand, then you develop the cessation, you realize Arahantship, then everything end. But there is he no you, he no me. That's why people can never penetrate all this. It's actually the form of mind. It's not a real entity. It's the form of mind through thought creating the dialogue. Want to go this way, want to go that way. It's the understanding that brings forth the nature to go that way. So when the nature go that way, the form of mind will follow. But when the nature don't understand, don't have that understanding, the form of mind will think within a very narrow band or limited understanding and exposure. From there, it will act. Then, of course, it will have its own causes and conditions behind. That's how things happen.
Yeah.
而且也不离工作，所以
对，
就是其实 Brad 就讲的就是刹那刹那水到处都是道场了。
对，到处都是道场。
所以因为我的 schedule 很比较 busy， 所以我就在我的常生活里面去体验那个佛法。
那个是最奥妙的，对，
是。
你一体验到那个，它就 connect 全部，Then after that, you will become different again. Then your meditation, your training, all differently. Well, your outlook, your ability to visualize the totality of the understanding is so different now. That it will bring for a mind that is so different. You will appreciate every aspect of life, every aspect of event that is happening and unfolding. Then you can relate the dependent origination, the condition arising, causal phenomena, everything you can relate. Then you look at life, you learn so much thing. So that is what the Bodhisattva ways cultivation is so extensive and different from normal cultivation. To realize enlightenment, to cease, is not difficult, it's very easy. But to finish the perfection, to realize the ultimate Sammasambuddhahood, that totality of perfection or wisdom, is not easy. That one demands a lot of patience, a lot of sincerity, perseverance, and cultivation. Then that one also involves a lot of understanding, the mind right understanding. That's why this teaching is very, very amazing, unique, and beautiful, wonderful. The word should be wonderful. Very good. Sadhu.
Wonderful. 哇，讲不出来真的是。
对，
因为他你生活的真的是很踏实，很 peaceful。
对，
我很多的很我也讲不出来。最难得的就是你当你在做每一件事的时候，你很清晰，很清楚。
对，
而且你节省很多了。什么时间上的也是节省了很多，而且你，哎呀，Bradio，我真的是很感恩，就对了。
Yeah.
感恩这一切一切的发生，哎呦，感恩。
Yeah.
就是，所以我当我之前在 cultivate 的时候 ，be it like pain, each everything， 我都在去看他们的怎样的发生，他的痛是怎样来的，
对，
然后去。理解他 ，understand 他，然后你就慢慢的，你就好像你就不再抓这个，就 even 通过
这
个很 natural 的 process， 就慢慢 go through， 慢慢 go through， 然后我最近也发觉到有一点改变的是，就是任何事情的。就是 like， 然后那个 phenomena 发生了，你看着它，就是它就 like， 你的心里面不会。
不会摇动了，
会动这样，然后来，我感觉到，怎么这样奇怪的，好像没有什么反应这样的。
对，跟以前不一样了，因为看透了，了解了。
对，很 wonderful。
就好像我以前 advise a lot of cultivator， think also like that， don't think also like that， 一切都是 mind make， so 它是唯心造。Is a creation of mind, no reality. What you have to understand is the unconditioned and the conditioned aspect, both are different. So the conditioned aspect that has the understanding to live life is very important. That part I realize cultivators seldom have the ability to realize. Then when you have that, you also need the unconditioned wisdom Dhamma to really break free, like what you have done. So what you have actually evolved and go into to develop is very beautiful. That's a life itself is the real training ground, like you say, 道场. where you develop the cultivation of the Dhamma. So life can give us the mind right creation, and the reality of life is what is. That's why what is, when you understand and able to accept the reality and be at peace, then everything becomes very beautiful, smooth sailing. Like you say, you become like very simple, very efficient in the way you do things, because you no longer waste a lot of time to go and worry about things, creating the wrong thought, stirring up division, trouble, problem, unnecessary worry, anxiety. All this gone, which means you have clarity, understanding, at peace, so much joy. Everything is like simplified, so simple, so clear. No need to worry about anything, hold on to anything. Then life takes a turn and becomes so beautiful, so meaningful. That's why, ao miao, wonderful. Yeah. So these are the real understanding that will surface if we cultivate correctly, if we have the true understanding. Even today's sharing is very beautiful, how you dwell. So that one also related to your understanding, because your mind, with the straightening of view and understanding, because of your meditation, you went in deep and nothing, then you can see your mind state and all those things. That's why through the awareness, the sati that have stabilized and awakened, and what you have gone through, the 16 years of depression, all this come back and help you. Then you realize, last time you get yourself entangled because you created all the dwelling to hold on to a lot of negative issues that created the wrong thought, that caused so much affliction, stress, suffering, disease to your body, until you have ulcer, gastric, and all the same, and many other problems, related problems. Then you cannot like come to terms with a lot of things in life. Your relationship with people are not smooth that time. You have a lot of problems. Then like everybody don't understand you. The world is like very unfair to you. Then this negative thought keep on spiraling and it get itself entangled until depression. Until you went into such long period of suffering. 16 years of depression is long enough, but it's meant to be, it's good. You need the causes and conditions. You need to pay back those karmic debt, and you need to go through all this to develop the condition to come out because of your good affinity with Triple Gem, and also your nature's timing has come, and all this will unfold. Then you were determined to cultivate, to go into it. That's why it can be done. It's not difficult, and all these are possible. That's why I say all kayamita, you have your past causes and conditions. It's how you want to actually develop it. That's why you must have that faith, the sincerity, the perseverance, and just do. Don't try to know. And so many kayamita has done it. Even recently, apart from Alicia, you see PG also did it. And you look, Pocheng Deo, and even Engby, LC, and Miss Lee. And even now, Manyuan is starting to change, even from a street, they all, many of them has become different. Even Paulian also, I think she is very different now. So a lot of all these are possible if you really set your mind to it, you really develop the determination, the aspiration. Then take the bodhisattva vow. It will make a big difference. Then many of this cultivation, when they come, it will transform the form and mind completely. And the cultivator itself will have the understanding of how amazing and wonderful this teaching is. And this is not something like people used to think, like fairy tale or what. No, it can be realized. It can be accomplished. You can develop that type of awakening and wisdom. Then your life will be completely transformed. And you can develop the beautiful understanding of such teaching and such dhamma. And all these are possible. Not what most people think, yeah, this one not for me lah. How can we all? Where got such parami? That is what your thought tell you. But if you really have the faith for you to have the causes and conditions to encounter such dhamma, and also to be born as a human being in this sasana, that itself tells you that you have the path, the parami. That's why don't allow this window to slip by. Determine, make the vow, then go all out, cultivate. So hopefully this will be a good condition to remind a lot of Kayamita to actually strengthen their what they call intent and make strong aspiration and vow to go this way. And this can actually help a lot of Kayamita and cultivator. Very good, Sadhu, Alicia.
Just
do, don't try to know. Then the joy will come, the understanding will come, everything will unfold. Yeah, you naka faith, sincerity, persevere, just do. 不要去 worry about what people say, what your thoughts say. Forget about it. Don't try to know, just do.
Half an hour I was there. I say it's so amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So you can get radio.
Today's sharing very, very good. Very good. Actually, that day, when Brother Dio shared about the lotus,
the wonderful dhamma,
for quite some time, I couldn't really understand because Brother Dio was just reading from the text. This is wonderful. That is wonderful. What is this?
Initially you cannot get the meaning because you don't understand, because everything is so wonderful. But when I summarize after somebody started asking the question, then when I summarize, the meaning came out. That's why Ingvi straight away got it.
Even after Ingvi sent that message, also I still couldn't think, you know.
You couldn't understand.
But today I understand.
Today you will understand. What is really wonderful.
And I can relate to what Alicia talked about.
Life itself is really where the training ground is, the Dhamma is. That's why it's very wonderful. No matter what happened, That is the reality, and the reality is the most wonderful thing on earth. You must have the wisdom to come to terms with that reality, at peace. Otherwise, suffering will arise. You wanting your way, which is not nature's way, to come, will entail and arise. So that is the Dhamma. So when you understand, it actually becomes so beautiful. Then you learn to be at peace with all things, all conditions. Then you straighten your view. You will not react like before. Then you will always smile with the joy. They are just the way they are. That's why it's like you look at the kid or the dog, the way they behave. Sometimes it's so cute, but they don't know what is going on. They behave their natural way. And that one creates the condition for it to be beautiful, wonderful. So life itself is very interesting when you have the understanding. But when you don't have the understanding, the mind, the mundane mind, comment a lot, then create a lot of dialogue and unnecessary reaction of mind, stirring of mind. Then you look at the world, you look at how living beings actually behave, then you realize that is the noble truth, the reality of life and existence. That's what I told you and many other Kayamitas too, like your brother that went through the tragedy. That one also I told you is the reality of life and existence. We have to accept it because their condition is such. Then there are others who told me about their loved one and whatever. I say these are reality of life and existence. You cannot last minute expect by sending some good wishes or whatever, then their life will change. It will improve. Actually, no point. But as somebody related to them, because the your brother, you can do something, of course. Then you have the Dhamma understanding. Then you can do whatever that is within your ability to help. And that's about all. Apart from that, no point, because it doesn't serve much what they call purpose. But if really something that can bring out the understanding and the Dhamma, that is different. Otherwise, just let things be. Learn to look at life. That's why when you cultivate and develop the understanding, you look at life differently. It's just like PG approach life so different now. Even through the news, the media or what, she can see how suffering comes to be. And that ability to become like sensitive to all this is the beginning of the dawning of the true Dhamma understanding. That this noble truth of dukkha is very, very real. It's a reality that every sentient being will encounter and confront. And without wisdom, really, life will become miserable. Affliction will arise, suffering will arise, misery will arise. That's why without Dhamma, you cannot save living being. Living being cannot come out of their entanglement, their suffering, their misery. So Dhamma is very important, very beautiful. You will go through all these stages of understanding. Then it will transform the individual, the cultivator. That's why this Dhamma is very unique, very beautiful. So hopefully, Manyan, you also can start to see all this. If you can relate to what Alicia shared today and what I shared today, it will help you a lot. Sadhu.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate
this
year's your patience for ready. And I also want to say, I want to also seek your forgiveness if I have offended you in the past.
Don't worry about all those things. You are sincere. you just do it yourself, like following the Bodhisattva vow, the God, then include all beings, whosoever from the distant past until now. So once you seek forgiveness from all beings, the enlightened one, they have a vow that automatically actually forgive. Like I told you all, I have that vow. Because we know, cultivator of the way will know. If you have karmic obstruction, it's very, very severe and very detrimental. So if people ask for forgiveness, then you can be 100% sure that those who have the Dhamma, the really enlightened great beings, awakened great beings, they already have a vow to forgive all of the sentient beings who, whether knowingly or unknowingly, create such karmic negativity or entanglement. That's why it will neutralize straight away. But you have to ask. So that's why it's included in the Bodhisattva vow. The vow teach you how to break karmic obstruction. First from the triple gem, then from all beings, then from all other karmic negativity or obstruction that are not covered in all this thing. That's why all this understanding are there. So for you to frequently recite through your Bodhisattva vow, that is good enough. Then it will cover. Then it will bring forth the causes and conditions for more and more understanding to unfold because of your ability to ask for forgiveness. Most important thing is from the triple gem. Then from all beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen. So all this will actually give rise to the causes and conditions for cultivator to move. Because karmic obstruction are very real. A lot of people get themselves entangled. Because over the eons and eons of birth and death, you don't know what you have done. Certain lie, through delusion, through ignorance, people may do a lot of wrong things. Even Sakyamuni Buddha, when he was just an ordinary sentient being, he also make mistakes. He actually make quite a number of mistakes, but relatively less. He actually didn't know that the monk was a Pachika Buddha. That's why he put sand into his butt. I think he was a kid at that time. So this also has his karmic. Then when he abuses somebody, I don't know who, that's why the Chincha incident happened. The Chincha incident is the result of when you say the wrong thing to people, you abuse certain virtuous cultivators. Character. And when the time comes for you to become Sapasabuddha, you will create that condition too, because you don't know who you have offended. So all this understanding is the reason why I include them in the yellow card, because I know the severity of coming obstruction. As I ask him for forgiveness, it's a must. Is the most important aspect of cultivation. You have to break karmic obstruction. Otherwise, you cannot have the condition to meet the Dhamma because it will obstruct your nature. It will obstruct everything, your form and mind. So karmic obstruction is very severe in the sense that it's really an obstruction. Then during that time, the form and mind cannot understand, cannot see, like completely obstructed. Whatever will not work. That's why I say people who get themselves entangled in this way, they have to ask for forgiveness, coming obstruction and all those things. So don't worry, as long as you have gone through that thing, follow the yellow card, everything will be resolved.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, I when I look back on my life, I look at my other relatives. Like you said just now, when that boy came to you to say that life is full of suffering.
Yeah.
I also see their suffering. And I
yeah.
And I understand better after today's Dharma
talk. Sharing, Started.
Because they have been misinterpreting, coming out with negativity.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they started reacting. I recall how they react. It's not one incident, all the time. And then okay, not only them, also me.
Will start to observe all this. That is what mindfulness is all about. The inner awareness that enable you to see retrospectively all this. That is cultivation. Very good. Mm.
Yeah, then after that, then they, I mean, that is just how they go through life and then they pass away.
Yeah.
Either of old age or then they never have a chance to even, you know,
encounter the Dhamma. Mm.
I mean, they are Buddhists. They pray to Buddha. They have an altar. They
yeah,
have
but they don't have the condition to encounter the true teaching. That's the difference. Mm. A lot call themselves Buddhists, but they don't have the understanding of the true teaching. In fact, a lot of Buddhist cultivator practitioner, they are mainly thought-based approach, knowledge-based. And very few have the true understanding of the true Dhamma. Well, without the true understanding, they will do what they do. Otherwise, they won't land themselves in that way. Understand?
Mm. Because to say that they are bad also, no, sometimes I can see the goodness in them, just that they acted the way because the thing is like that. Then, you know, they perceive people to be like that. Then they started to get angry and then they accuse people of doing certain things.
That is Sakaya Ditti. That is self-delusion. That's why they don't have the ability to understand all this. So this is Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion. Then, like you mentioned just now, you say, not to say they don't have goodness. Sometimes they also have goodness. They are kind. But that one is not the real, what they call virtue. That one is a conditioned virtue. Virtue according to them, good according to them. They say, I must do good. I must cultivate goodness. So how they cultivate? They cultivate not with the Dhamma understanding. They cultivate is because it's all knowledge-based, thought-based. So they will do certain things in accordance with their views and opinion, good according to them. That's why they can still blame people. They can still get angry, emotional, unhappy. It means they don't have the true understanding of the form and mind. They don't have the awareness nature to see all this, to understand all this. To really penetrate the teaching, the Dhamma. That's why it's not easy. A lot of them are knowledge-based, thought-based. So a lot may say they are Buddhist, they have an altar, like you say, they attend temple activity, Dhamma class, but it's very rare you can find some cultivator who really have the condition to meet up with the true teaching, the true Dhamma, and can make use of it to cultivate, to transform their life. If you can see that, means they have the Dhamma. They look at Kayamita, they turn around for the better, and their life has changed so much. And this is how the true Dhamma can have its potency and efficacy to bring forth those type of results, those type of understanding. So for you, Mayan, hopefully, with this, you will start to slowly understand. Then express your own gratitude and joy for being so, I should say, actually the word is, you can use the word lucky, you want, for being so blessed to come into contact with the true Dhamma. So the only thing now you need to do is to go all out and sincerely cultivate. Go deeper into the cultivation, then penetrate the Dhamma. Then when you do that, like Alicia Day or you will actually develop the mindfulness and the awareness to understand this more clearly. That's why you must stabilize the awareness nature, take the bodhisattva vow, and commit yourself to the training, the daily religious routine. Then after that, you become different. And then you can understand more and more of this Dhamma sharing that we have come out with, we have gone through. Then your understanding will actually stabilize. But now what you are going through is because of your limited faith and all those things. You have started to create the condition for you to slowly receive all this. But all this will take a while to go in. Like initially today is a good sign. Like you say earlier on when I share, you can't understand that even when Amy send out the thing, you still don't really understand. But after today, you start to understand. That's why you need more time because your condition is such. Yours is the earlier condition where you have not really gone into the cultivation so deeply, so seriously as other Kayamitas. But it's already a good improvement and change from what I can see. Because last time, my daughter also can see, is that Manyuan got a lot of fear, negativity, and now you are so different. That's why after you resolve your colleague's issue, then you're able to now look into your own issue, your own family issue, then understand life, you are slowly coming out and evolving. But what you lack is the full-time commitment to the training, to stabilize your daily mindfulness, your whatever we call it the daily religious routine, then the vow, the bodhisattva vow. You must go into all this and develop the faith. Then you will move in like Alicia Deo, and it will come to fruition one of these days. So all these are possible. Okay?
Do my puja, I do the Buddhist sattva vow morning and night. I've been doing diligently.
Yeah.
I understand it will take some time.
Definitely.
I've been keeping to it.
Yes.
And because now my leg got swollen, so despite what
slow down. Because if your leg got swollen, you have to slow down. You slow down, then you apply some whatever. Then you do your daily mindfulness, the daily religious routine. You don't have to bow so often. You just do within your means. Then a lot of things will happen. Like PG, after 2 months, she saw the result. She saw, it's really bringing out the causes and conditions for her to really go all out and cultivate and move. Then she starts to develop the connection and understanding. And the mind that is so strong in its like determination to succeed, to do it, because she has her past, this strong mind, and that one helped her. So you have to find out what is your past that is strong that can help you move this way. Otherwise, like you went through and you described, you are the one that is slower, you will take longer time. But it's okay. As long as there is progress take longer. Also, never mind, we are not everybody has the same type of past, the uniqueness of that special character to develop the cultivation. So all this, you will start to develop understanding. Mm-hmm. Very good, Sadhu. So remember the daily religious routine, the daily mindfulness. So you have started doing the chanting, all those things, which is good, taking the vow, which is good. Then your leg, if it's swollen, have better slow down and apply medication. Then do within your means. Then more to anchor your daily mindfulness into your daily activity. Then observe life, listen to Dhamma, contemplate into the Dhamma, stabilize your understanding. Then apply the teaching to actually live it. Then you will see the fruition of it, the result, the transformation. So all these are beautiful. Okay, Anya?
Thank you, Radio.
Sadhu. Anything else?
No more already, Radio.
No more already. Okay, let us rejoice. Let us thank Alicia for the good sharing and also Manyon. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, good. We will do the sharing of merits. We are 6:04 already. Akasata Shabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tangan Moditoa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Wata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Sidiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Teyo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Teyo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Teyo Devo Wasatu Kalina Sasa Sampati Hetoja Vito Bhavatu Lokocha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Emina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Otu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will continue with our fellowship. Short one, 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, we open up. Anybody wants to come in? It's an informal sharing. Just share whatever you want or today's topic and all those things. Or comment on what has been shared also, you can. Anybody? Quick one. Come show your hand and on your mic and just come in. Fellowship.
Radio.
Yes.
PG here.
PG. Yeah, Sadhu.
Good evening, Radio. Mrs.
Yeah, Sadhu. Good evening.
Actually, Radio, I wish to thank Manyan and Alicia for the sharing.
Yeah.
Alicia sharing, actually when she was, the first part when she was speaking in Mandarin, and I was thinking, "Ayo, Brother Teo, can you please translate?"
Way
of communicating. So when you say, "Oh, you want to talk in English for the sake of those English speaking people," I was so thankful.
Having a lot of joy.
thankful for that. Yeah. What I want to say is like, it can be done, especially when we see how Alicia has gone from
not knowing much until what she is.
As she goes along the way, her faith develops. And we can see how it has improved so much. It's such an inspiration to see, to see how she's doing, right, Jill?
Real inspiration, yes.
Yeah, real inspiration.
Yeah, this is a true transformation into great understanding of life. And despite her busy schedule, life, relationship, and a lot of, I should say, people whom she has relationship with, she was able to cope. Actually, at her age and condition, with the business she has and the family, their family are very big. And they have a lot of brother, sister, even Freddie's side also very big. Then they also have what they call friends, colleagues, and all those things. And Alicia has a lot. Freddie also same. And to cope with all this is not easy, because like she said, she bought that farmland, the Pentong one, the plantation land. And that one also need a lot of time. And as a mother, she got to cook, she got to prepare many things. Then she got to look after Freddie's business too. And he got to plan the son's future, and also plan for their career life. Then also the son, I think they intend to expand on the family business and develop more stability of understanding of how to actually build up their life, because the son is a second generation. Then she also has a daughter and other family members. So all these are not easy. Without the Dhamma, it cannot be done. That's why she has so much joy, because all this earlier, the depression all gone, then with the Dhamma, she realized her relationship with family members, others, siblings, and all those things all turned out to be so beautiful. And she was able to apply this Dhamma into her family relationship, her relationship with her friends, colleagues, and also in a very unique way into life itself, the neighbors and all those things. So these are very beautiful examples of possibility of Dhamma to awaken a person and bring forth such great transformation in the way they live their life. And the understanding is fantastic, really. That's why we so happen to discuss the topic. Wonderful. And Envy also pick it up very fast. What is really wonderful. That statement is very good. You all can include that into one of your understanding. What is real wonderful. That is very beautiful.
Yeah, Baratio, that is a very good statement, actually.
Yeah, very good statement.
When she put it out, I say, wow.
Wow, you know, sadhu.
This is short and to the point.
Concise, concise.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
Yes.
Yeah. Baratio, like I say, like you mentioned many times, what we learn, to learn the true Dhamma, actually, the easiest and the best way is to learn from life itself.
Yeah,
if we are able to see how life can teach us, I think we will improve tremendously.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but there has to be some understanding. So
yes,
that way we our cultivation, we have to we have to do it ourselves too.
Yes,
so
definitely.
Only then we can learn from life itself. Really.
Yes, that's why you must establish the base. The mindfulness, the awareness, the basic Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. And then only you can put it into practice, apply. Because why do we develop the understanding of life? Like I always say, always share, life itself is our greatest teacher. Why? Because when you go through life, when you live life, it's always about the reality, about what is. Everything that happens in life and existence, every moment, every instant, is about the reality. The Buddha called it the truth, what is, suchness, tatata. That's why the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. And these causes and conditions is already established, and he has explained them. paticca samuppada, dependent originating. So when you see that, then you understand. No wonder the Buddha says sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang. You want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. And because it is the conditioned world, that's why it is the law of dependent originating. That's why what is the reality, suchness, tatata. And that teaching is the most beautiful. It's only in life you can experience the truth, the reality. So life itself is our greatest teacher. You cannot learn from life. You cannot cultivate the Dhamma. The Buddha Dhamma is actually life, existence. That's why those cultivators who have gone through, they all come to know, like what Alicia has gone through, the mind right Dhamma of creation come from the self nature, like Hui Ning said. Without the self nature, nothing arises. So the wonderful Dhamma comes from this self nature. When self nature arises, all things arise. Because the mundane mind, the whole lot of phenomenal world, the mind right Dhamma, they come from the self nature. And nothing is apart from the self nature. That's why you will start to understand the true mind, the true nature, the self nature, and the two types of mind. That's how all the understanding unfolds. So for your case, also very beautiful. After you connect and you went through the transformation, you also start to understand the profound teaching, the sharing very beautifully. So really, this is wonderful.
Sadhu. That will be all. Thank you so much.
Good. Yeah. So let us rejoice one more time, with all the good participation and sharing, especially the summarized detail by Sister PG. Sadhu. Thank you for all the good sharing. So,
Matthew, can I add something in
can. No problem. Yeah.
That night, Thursday night, once you explain, summarize the meaning of wonderful, and then after the session end, I just cannot resist from
sharing.
Yeah, that message.
Sadhu, sadhu, yeah. That's why I knew there are some kayamita who understand. And when I saw yours, I rejoiced because you truly understand. Sadhu.
All this come from you, Ratio, without your summarized.
Definitely. But you also have the ability to pick it out. You remember just now Manjuan mentioned? When I share, he still cannot get the meaning. Then after you send out, she still liabukyu. Until today, only she start to have some head or tail. Understanding of what that thing. So it's not easy, anyway. But you have that ability to pick it up because you are very sharp. Your Dhamma understanding is good. You have gone through
it. Without Virtue's guidance, your
explanation,
we also liabukyu.
That one I agree. I truly agree. But so, not everybody has that type of sharpness and acumen like you and also Alicia and PG now. Because to have this, you must go through the cultivation. Especially stability or sati, awareness, and go into that nature. Then from there, develop the constant listening to the Dhamma, straighten your view, and link all the essential Dhamma and all the penetrative pointers and good Dhamma. So all this is the accumulation of cultivation. That's why not many people can have that. For you, you have this ability, which is very strong, very good.
With utmost gratitude, all of us in this My Kalyana Mita, we really appreciate your guidance, your blessing and your protection. We owe all it to you. Yeah, Brother Teo. May you be well, happy, peaceful, and achieve and realize your spiritual goal soon as possible.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Oh, I rejoice. Thank you so much.
That's all from me. Yeah, Brother Teo.
Very good. Thank you so much. So we will have to end. We are 6:18 already. So today's sharing is very good. You all should go back and listen to this again. So sadhu again once more to Sister Ng B, PJ, Manyan, and also Alicia. And also to all Kayamitas who participated in this today's sharing. So sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice one more time and we will end the whole session. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu.